Let's take a look at someone in Hollywood. This person has a lot of finances, all the way up here. And his fitness, he looks cool. It looks kind of like Aaron over here. But not too smart. He jumps in every crusade there is and makes their, you know, whatever. Faith is real bad, and because they don't have faith. And yet, you know what? Our society touts these kinds of people in this graph as the model for our next generation. Do you understand why our nation becomes so poor?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Grudero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled Six Wells of Wealth, where we learned about, number one, our finances, and number two, our intellect. Well, today, a look at four more wells of wealth. We need to develop all of them in balance if we want to be truly wealthy. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Six Wells of Wealth.
And let's talk about this next one. Fitness. Oh, no. Yep, fitness. Fitness. Now, if you're Pastor Rod, you're way up here and excellent. And if you're me, you're down here somewhere. But let's put us up a little bit. But let's read the scripture here. Go. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not to... Yeah, who owns you? God. So he expects us to steward what he's given to us. Now listen carefully. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, how wide you are, how thin you are, how big you are, how small you are, how rectangular you are, or how round you are. That is not the question. It's about, do you have enough energy harnessed to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish? Because you can be thin as a rail because you want to look good, but you starve yourself on a diet that robs you of the minerals and the dietary nutrients necessary to have energy. So it's not the shape that the celebrities and what we see advertised around. That's not our goal. It's to have energy. Energy. And often, due to diet, poor diet, or a lack or inadequate rest or an inability to deal with stress, it zaps our energy. So we don't have the energy to care for our children or to think through this decision at the job or to take the time we need to better ourselves. We just don't have the energy. And if that is low on the fitness meter, then we'll be poor. You won't have the energy. It doesn't matter if you have the intellect. You won't be able to have the discipline it takes to get up and get going. How are you doing in that? Write that down. A, B, C, D, or F. Let's take a look at the next one here. It's faith. Right up here. Where's your faith? You say, well, maybe it's down to about there. You say, well, what is faith in this graph? Let's read what it says in Colossians 2:7. Go. Let your roots grow down deep into him and draw up nourishment from him, so you will grow in strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done. Listen, faith is what keeps you on track. Faith is what gives you resilience. When you run into the wall and have a setback, faith helps you to get back up. It doesn't in any way guarantee that you won't fall down. No, sometimes we think that the definition of faith is a crisis-free life, that you'll never fall, that you'll never make a mistake. That's wrong. If that were the definition, then Jesus should have lived a life of peaches and cream. No, faith is when you do get knocked down, because you will, you'll have the resilience to get back up. You'll be able to trust beyond what you can see and not see the end of your sight line as the limit of your potential. You'll be able to press on beyond that. You'll be able to trust God in spite of all of that. You'll know that God is leading you and God is guiding you. It's your faith that gets you going, gives you vision for the future. It's your faith that's able to give you the ability to forgive and to move forward. And you see, it's your faith that gives you a conscience. to be able to discern right from wrong and moral from immoral. Isn't that right? You drop your faith, you won't know what's right or wrong. You drop your faith and you won't know what's moral or immoral. Because right now we are living in the midst of a culture that if you discriminate what's right from wrong or moral from immoral, they will ridicule you. It's your strong faith that will have the courage and the tinsel strength to stand fast because you know right from wrong and moral from immoral. And you're not going to dilute your soul to a nation that's adrift, regardless of whether or not they're passing laws about it. That's why your faith can say, this is my Bible, and it is the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the truth, God's Word. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. I do what it says I do because I am a citizen of heaven. And guess what is the highest law in the land? This is the highest law in the land. You see, our Bible creed comes from our faith. When I was younger, we built a recording studio. And this recording studio, when it was replete with all of its instrumentation and amplifiers and recorders, because it had heat that it would generate due to the electronics, it would have a tendency to suck in dust, clogging up the filters. So one of the things a consultant said was, you've got to get a very clean air conditioner that filters the air and pushes air in, cooled air, into the recording studio so that the air pressure within the studio will be greater than that which is on the outside. Because if there were a negative air pressure on the inside due to the heat, then whenever you open the door, it would suck in dust from the street and dirt. But if you have a positive air pressure, every time you open the door, what would happen? It would push out the dust. It would keep the dust out. It would keep all of the foreign particles out, and it would keep the studio clean. He said, if you don't do that, it would be no more than a year or two when you will have all your filters damaged and corroded because it's going to pull in all of the moisture and all of the dust and all of the dirt in from the outside every time you open the door. You've got to have a positive air pressure. And I thought, that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Spirit, when He comes to abide in you and me, He brings a divine air kingdom pressure on the inside that your faith keeps strong so that when you open the door, you don't suck or vacuum in the morals of the world. You see, if your faith drops, it'll be a negative air pressure. And every time you open the door and you interact with people of the world, their morals are going to come right in. And then you're going to wonder, well, why do we think this way? Why are we doing this? Because there's a negative air pressure, and we didn't take time to make sure that we're developing that well of wealth, because wealth comes in many forms. But if you will keep that air pressure by building your faith, and the Holy Spirit will help you, and He'll supply all that you need, whenever you open the door to interact with the world, instead of them coming in, you're going to be able to generously give out. Do you remember when Jesus was on the road to go see Jairus' daughter and that woman reached out and took a hold of His garment? Do you remember that? She was sick. Jesus was walking and He stopped and said, whoa, somebody touched me. And His disciples said, Jesus, what are you talking about? This is a parade. There's people bumping into you in every place you turn. He said, no. There's a difference between people bumping into me and someone intentionally touching me. Big difference. Why do I know? I'll tell you why. Because when someone touched me, I felt, do you remember what it was? I felt power go out of me. Ah! You see, when you're building your faith as people of God, when you open the door to someone's needs, their inabilities don't surge in. Power goes out. When you open the door to help someone, redemption goes out, healing goes out, wholeness goes out, hope is given to them. But if we're not careful, we're going to open the door and their morals and their perceptions and their ways are going to start to come in so that we can equalize the pressure. God never asked us to do that. He never said, I want you to be like the world. He said, I want you to overcome the world with my grace and with my redemption and with my healing and with my love and with my forgiveness. And if you don't have it in you, how are you going to give it away? So God is calling us to be a people that live a generous life. But you've got to build your faith. And without that, we become poor. Let's continue. Let's take a look at the next one here. The next one is relationships. Oh, this is so important. Relationships. In the end, about all we got will be relationships. God designed it that way. Without healthy relationships, everything around you that's of value goes to zip. Even gold. So, whoa, what are you talking about? Yeah, you see, if you have a bunch of stuff, you can have a big old diamond honking ring. But if you hate your husband, he hates you, this ain't worth much. I was actually working with a guy and his wife that were having a huge marital mess up. And she came driving in and he was there and we were going to have some counseling. And I thought, oh, here she comes, but we got to do this because we asked her to come. She came out and drove the car and the guy said, hey, watch out. She said, I don't give a about this car, slammed the door, and I thought the very car that he bought for her really was worth nothing now. Why? Because the relationship was so poor. She came and sat down, and we started counseling, and I wasn't doing a good job because we weren't getting anywhere, and all the time I'm counseling them, she's pulling her ring off. It had this huge diamond on it. This was a rock, and she was pulling this ring off, and we came to a point where it escalated, and she took this ring. She said, I don't give a care in the world, she said, about this, and she threw the ring. He ducked, whoo, about broke the wall down at this huge rock. And she said, I don't care. You can take that back. And so, I mean, after it was done, I thought, I'm going to look for that ring, man. But if you think about it, it doesn't matter what value the world gives to certain things. If you don't have healthy relationships, is it worth anything? If I said to you, okay, you want more? Yeah, he's got a bigger house. I'll give you a bigger house yet. Really? He's got a pool. I'll give you 18 pools. You want 35 Mercedes-Benz. I'll give you pallets of gold bullion under one condition. What? That you have all of that stuff, but you're going to live on an island alone for the rest of your life. You will never see another human being. But enjoy your mansion and your 18 pools and your 30-some Mercedes-Benzes. Enjoy your pallet of gold bullion. Well, after you swim in one pool one day and one pool the next all by yourself, you have dinner by yourself, you drive around the island by yourself, after about a month, you think, none of this is really worth anything. God designed it that way. Because without healthy relationships, nothing's really worth anything. Everything is worth and becomes valuable in the context of healthy relationships. That's it. Maybe there's some you need to repair because you're poor in that area. And always remember, you're only as rich as where you are the poorest. Now let's take a look at the last one. The last one's time. Time. Wish we had all kinds of time, but maybe in reality, we have a little bit less. But a time. Time is incredibly important. Let's read what Ephesians 5 says, 5, 16 and 17. Go. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are... Yeah. Bill Gates has 24 hours. A guy that's just flat on his back has 24 hours. They both have the same amount of time. Well, why is one a billionaire and another struggling every day? It's not because one has more time than another. It's because this person converted time into something far of a greater investment than this person. They both had the same potential. And maybe this one developed his intellect more than that, his relationships more than that. Do you understand? It becomes a resource to become what God wants you to be. If you don't steward it, everything that God wants you to be could be lost. Let me ask you, are you using time well? I was flying back to Hawaii, and I sat next to him. Must have been a coach of a football team, because he had an iPad, and for the next 2 hours, he was watching the videos of one game again and again, and he'd replay a play, go back again, and he would have a notebook next to him where he was taking copious notes on this block or what should have been done. And I could see question marks he would write. Could we have done this? Could we do that? Maybe we should have done this. And so all of these questions and comments for 2 hours. And I looked at him and I thought, I bet he's a really good coach. You know why? Because he's investing time, 2 hours, in increasing his ability to do what he feels God has called him to do. He is a great time traveler. He uses it well. 2 hours. Same 2 hours, you know how I used it? I watched a movie called Guardians of the Galaxy. It was a pretty good movie. It's how you use time. Are you investing it well? Investing it well. Let me have you take a look at some samples of different people. Let's say this is something in Hollywood. Let's take a look at someone in Hollywood. This person has a lot of finances all the way up here. And his fitness, he looks cool. It looks kind of like Aaron over here. Yeah, and cool, right? But not too smart. He jumps in every crusade there is and makes their, you know, whatever. Faith is real bad, and because they don't have faith and relationships. He's on his 18th marriage, and time is bad. But we have a lot of finances and a lot of fitness. But look how poor he is. What a miserable life these people will live. Yet, you know what? Our society touts these kinds of people in this graph as the model for our next generation. Do you understand why our nation becomes so poor? Because we have the wrong model. We have the wrong understanding of what it means to be a people wealthy in the things of God, to be what God's called us to be. Okay, well, someone says, well, you know, I don't want to be a Hollywood person. I'm going to be a super saint. Well, this person here has a lot of faith, but not many finances. And his intellect is, you know, helpless. And fitness is bad. Relationships are okay. Time's not too good. But boy, he's got faith because God's going to provide. God's going to bring me that wife. God's going to bring me that job while I sit here and read another devotional book. And that's nice. But can you see how poor this person is? And yet he thinks, I've got it all because I've got one pillar that's strong. You're as rich as where you are the poorest. And that's why people of the world look at these kinds of people and they go, man, you guys are weird. Well, some say, well, I don't want to be a super saint. I'm just going to be like a scientist because a brainiac. I'm just going to be smart as can be. So his intellect is really way up there. But his finances are bad because he's waiting for another state grant that'll never come. And then his fitness is bad. Got no faith because he really can't have faith and be a intellect, and then his relationships are poor because he never dates, he's too ugly, and then you got no time. And, I'm just joking. But so this guy says, look at that, I'm the one you should listen to. Now here's the danger. You have people like this, and then that other guy, the super saint, they debate against one another and come up with these conclusions that are both dumb because both of them are off. And they're touting that their answers are the right. And it's like, wait a minute. I mean, that's nice if you live in your own little parallel universe, but we have to pay for bills, and we got kids to raise, and we live real lives. Well, that's when the Lord says, you're going to have a balanced life because there are many forms of wealth, and you need to know them all. Let's take a look at another one. Well, if not a brainiac, let's look where Wayne was. Well, let me tell you what was happening in my life. You know, when I first started off ministry, there wasn't a lot of things going, so I took every opportunity that I could. Grabbed every one of them. And as I would do well in this one or that one, they would offer me another opportunity, and I'd take it. I wouldn't even ask questions. I'd just take it. and I'd take another one and another one. And every time I took a responsibility, it took a chunk out of me because I had to invest myself. Well, after a while, I was taking all these opportunities. I had more opportunities than I had capabilities. And I was getting squeezed into exhaustion because everything took a chunk. I had to finish Bible college. Well, that took a chunk. And then I got married. That took a chunk. And then enter my first child. That took a chunk out of me. And I had to keep working, continuing. And then enter the second child. That took many chunks. That was Aaron. Tons of chunk just flooded out. And then we had to continue working now, more hours and plus ministry. And then Abby came along. And then we went to Hilo and pioneered that church, another chunk. And then we started writing books, another chunk, and another one, and another one, another. We moved here, pioneered the church, and all the things, just everything took a chunk out of me. After a while, I didn't have any more chunks to give. And here's what really suffered. Number one, I was so busy. What suffered was my time. I had no time for anything that I wanted to do. And I felt like a prisoner. And even though it's a little large here, really this was one, the other one that suffered is my fitness. I just didn't have time to work out the stress in my life through running or whatever, because I had to cut all of that down because I was too busy because I had no time. And so even though the others were doing really well over here, my house of cards imploded because I didn't have those foundations right there. And that's where the devil would attack. Where it was the weakest, the breach in the wall. And see, you can have some really strong pillars, but if you have some really weak pillars, your house will implode because you don't have the foundation. If God wants us to be a people that's a generous people, then we have to understand there's way more forms of wealth. And here again was my goal. My purpose in life was to raise a godly family and to influence people towards Christ through my example, because I'm not perfect, but my example, when I fall, here's how you get back up. When you fail, here's how you work through it. Because people really don't want perfect Christians, they just want honest ones. So through my example, then through my teaching and preaching and resources, that's the cake. Everything else is icing. To raise a godly family, and to influence people towards Christ through my example, teaching, preaching, and my resources. That's it. Now, you're going to have all kinds of other opportunities that can distract you from that, but I know my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And if I'll keep my faith strong and my life balanced, then everything will stay where it's supposed to be. And I'll learn to start cutting stuff out. I'm not always good at that. So I've developed a habit of just taking every opportunity. So I've got to unlearn that. As Alvin Toffler once said, who wrote Future Shock, he said, those who will be the literate of the 21st century will not be those who can read or write, but it'll be those who can learn, unlearn, and relearn. And so God is looking for a people who will have enough in them so that when he pours faith into us, we can give it away and live a generous life. We have enough water for ourselves because we've taken the time to invest that, and now we can give a cup of water. We have time, so we can give time. Do you understand? Living the generous life will require a balanced life like this. And if we will do this in order to fulfill God's purpose for you in this lifetime by stewarding all of these and having him supply all that you need, you'll end up before the throne of God, and he'll look at you and he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Six Wells of Wealth by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, music, DVDs, podcasts, and much more. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.